We continue in our series of messages entitled Sermons to the Natural Man. And like I've said, these are meant really to cause each one of us to examine our hearts and see where we stand in our relationship with God. And in our series of messages this morning, we come to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through to verse 23. And in those verses, we find a sobering warning uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this warning finds itself as the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing close to the end of his sermon, or commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring upon the minds of all those who sat under his voice, but also to all of us here this morning, he wants to remind us of the seriousness of our salvation. And he wants each one to be clear where they stand before God when it comes to the issue of salvation. We live in a country that is religious, and almost everyone you meet will tell you that they believe that one day they will be in heaven. In fact, if I were to ask all of us here this morning, we all believe that one day we'll be in heaven. There's not one person, no matter how their views may be about Christ and about their salvation, they believe that somehow, one way or the other, they will find themselves in heaven. And our passage is very clear this morning that not everyone who desires to be in heaven will find themselves in heaven. Not everyone who leaves this world goes into heaven or goes to heaven. I know we all want to believe that that's the case, that all of us will be in heaven. God is a God of love. Why would God let others go to hell? And this is more pronounced or more heard during funerals, when somehow we forget the truth of the scriptures and we begin to assure the hearers that this person who's died will find themselves in heaven because they did this, they did that, and this, the God of the heavens will welcome them. The issue of salvation is a very important issue. It's an issue that most people are sincerely wrong, because they premise their entrance into heaven on wrong things. And our passage this morning, when you look at the context of our passage this morning and where these words find themselves, it is in the context in which the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 5, when you read verse 1 and verse 2, he is speaking to his disciples. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to talk. And in verse 20 of chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus Christ has been speaking, he challenges his disciples and the hearers that unless their righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I'm sure those who sat hearing the words of Christ must have been shocked, because they looked at the scribes and the Pharisees as individuals who knew how to articulate the law of God and individuals who kept the law of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount begins with a shocking ban that unless your righteousness will pass that of the Pharisees, you will not enter heaven. And as he continues, he gets to this portion which we'll be dealing with this morning. And he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he takes time to remind his audience and to remind us all of the seriousness of our salvation. And it is this reminder that I bring again to all of us this morning. And it is this reminder that I would like us to examine this morning, to see this sobering warning uttered by God Himself, Christ Jesus. And He's saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at our passage this morning and draw some lessons from that. The first thing we note about this sobering warning is this staggering communication from the Lord Jesus Christ. This staggering communication from Christ. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is making a shocking and surprising statement. And it's one of those surprising and shocking statements that we find in the scriptures. And he's actually saying to this multitude that not everyone who comes and says to me, Lord, Lord, will eventually find themselves in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ is actually wanting to communicate this clear, sobering warning in those words that he utters. That the fact that someone comes and says, Lord, Lord, or the fact that someone looks at Christ and gives him the respect as master does not necessitate entrance into heaven. And the underlying truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is that there are many who claim that he is Lord, and yet who have missed that salvation is in Christ alone, through faith alone and not of your works. And he's saying to us this morning, and he was saying to those who gathered and were hearing him speak, that there are those who think that they're on the path to heaven, when in reality they are not. There are those who are so clear in what they think about themselves, are so clear in what they think God thinks of them, and they conclude that surely they will find themselves in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that a mere profession of Jesus as Lord is not enough. A mere profession is not enough. A doctrinal correctness about the person of Christ is not enough. A person may believe what is true and may be sincere in what they believe. But Jesus Christ is clearly saying, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to see this warning that he puts before us, is that those who think of themselves as being saved from their sins because of what they've done or because of their profession, we will not then be surprised. Jesus warns about mere profession. And the Apostle Paul was also mindful of this, that there will be those in the church who will deceive themselves because of a mere profession to the name of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he actually challenges us to examine ourselves and see if we are in the faith. He knew that there will be those who will be gathered or those who will be in the church who will be comfortable with the profession they made, the mere profession, thinking that they are on their way to heaven. And the Apostle Peter does so as well in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, where he talks about being diligent in making our calling and election sure. And this warning of the Lord Jesus Christ is a matter of great concern, and it should concern you. It should concern me, and should concern all of us. It is important because without Jesus Christ, without faith in Christ, without belief in the finished work of Christ, belief in the person of Christ, you cannot enter heaven. Salvation is not based on what you feel or think or some strange experience you had. Salvation is in Christ. And it's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to bring forth, and is communicating this so that those who hear may begin to ask the question, how then can one be saved and be sure that they are saved? It's simply mere profession to the name of Christ is not enough. The question must be, how then can one be saved and be sure that they are saved? Christ saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the second thing we note about this warning is the surprising complaint that will arise on that day. The surprising complaint that will arise on that day. Verse 22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And as the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing to the close of his Sermon on the Mount, he actually teaches the day of judgment. And he sees multitudes standing before him on that day, confident within themselves that they are going into heaven. And Christ reminds them that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. And then he's saying, on that day, there will be this complaint that will arise. A complaint that will even surprise those that will be complaining, because all along, they've been so sure that they are going into heaven. And he says, on that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? Did we not do that? All in your name. And when you look at the things that they have done, first of all, before they talk about the things that they've done, they reinforce their profession by even magnifying what they believe by repeating the word Lord, Lord. Basically saying, Master, Master, look what we did. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, not saying on that day, I will say, you never did those things. The Lord Jesus Christ actually shows us, we'll be seeing verse 23, that he will say to them, I never knew you. And the Lord Jesus Christ also is highlighting in that verse that all these remarkable things this individual did, it wasn't so much about Christ, but about themselves. They're basically saying, Lord, this is what I did in your name. I cast out demons in your name. So it's not about Christ, it's about me doing these things in your name. And they are very sincere, but sincerely wrong. They were busy doing things in the name of Christ. Busy going about preaching and teaching and casting out demons. Busy doing all these things. And yet they never had time to get to know their name and the person of Christ. They were busy doing these things in the pretext of doing it for Christ and never had time to get to really know who this Jesus Christ is. And they are busy boasting about what they had done. And their whole claim to entrance into heaven is, Lord, this is what we have done. And the focus is on themselves and not on Jesus Christ. And if there's anything this verse is teaching us this morning, is that you cannot produce salvation by your works, no matter how mighty your works might be. You cannot. You can go about preaching and teaching in the name of God. You can go about casting out demons and performing miracles, but that will not produce salvation in your heart. It won't. Only Christ, and in Christ alone, is salvation found. He is our only hope and our only way to heaven. It is Christ. And Christ is not interested in you making him mighty because of the works you're doing. He's already God. He's already mighty. What he's interested in is to know that you've believed in him for the forgiveness of sin, and he has a relationship with you. And learn from that verse that you can be theologically correct, doctrinally accurate, but if you miss Jesus, you will go to hell. And what a shocking thing it will be for someone that day, maybe even some present this morning, to have lived your life busy in the Lord's vineyard, doing the Lord's work, teaching, preaching, and doing mighty works, going around and being involved in the works of the church, and yet to have spent your life without knowing whether Jesus is the Savior of your life. And then on that day, to be taught, you can't enter heaven because I didn't know you. And even when you complain, but Lord, I was busy. I attended church. I sang songs. I did all these things in your name. And only to be told, I never knew you. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ wants each one of us to search our hearts, to examine our hearts, and to stand with what the Bible says. And my only plea is Jesus and Jesus alone. No one will be able to enter the kingdom of God without Christ having atoned for their sins, and without the Holy Spirit having drawn them to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought them to their knees where they've professed and confessed Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. It's not just about mere profession of the name of Christ. It's Christ taking residence in your hearts. And this is a sobering warning. Because it's easy to get carried away with religious activities and be very sincere in your commitment to these religious activities and miss the only way, the only entrance of heaven, Jesus Himself. It's very easy to miss Christ in the multitude of activities, in the multitude of religious involvement, in the multitudes of what you are involved in, with the view that these works will end you an entrance into heaven. And Christ is saying on that day, many will be surprised. In fact, they will complain. Lord, we did this. Lord, we did that. And Lord, we did mighty works. But that day will be too late to reverse things and make Christ your Savior. Now is the time to wrestle with that thought. But thirdly, we note also the shocking confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. This shocking confession of Christ, verse 23, and the first part. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is how it will be on that day. Many will stand hoping to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Wanting to hear those sad words, I never knew you. The Lord Jesus Christ has already made a staggering statement that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. But again, here he makes another shocking confession that on that day, all those who be claiming what they did in my name, on that day, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I will utter to them, I never knew you. Now, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ there, that I never knew you, is not saying that Christ was not aware or didn't know about their existence. He's God. He knows all things. In fact, He knows everything there is to know about you. He even knows what you don't know about yourself. He knows where you are. He knows how long you live on earth. He knows the state of your heart. But the words there, I never knew you. The words that give us the idea that He had no relationship with you. It's not intellectual recognition of them, no. It's not that Christ cannot tell your name or who you are or what you like, no. It's the fact that He has never had a relationship with you. There's no time in your life when Christ had this relationship with you. And the emphasis in that verse is on the word never. I never knew you. And the Lord Jesus Christ is essentially saying, never at any point in history or in your life did I have any relationship with you. That's what He's saying. He said, on that day I'll say, and I'll declare to them, I never knew you. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is actually saying. The word there, know or knew, it's a word that you, it's where you come to know someone by experience and relating. So it's not just intellectual knowledge that you are aware of such a place or aware of such a thing. It's knowledge that comes with experience and relationship. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, on that day, many will hear this confession from me, and the person who's saying is the second person of the Holy Trinity, God Himself, the all-knowing God, the one who created all things, the one who knows the destiny of each one of us, the one who knows what it is to face the Holy God, the one who knows the terrors of hell, the one who knows what it is to be ushered into eternal punishment. He is God, and He is the one who's bringing this warning and saying, on that day, many will be shocked when I confess publicly before my Father and before everyone gathered on that day, I never knew you. Never at any point did you and I have a relationship. And what a dreadful surprise that would be to have lived believing that Jesus knows you, only to be told publicly before multitudes, I never knew you. That's a shocking confession, brethren. But one made by God Himself. And this question of where you stand before God must be settled now. When you have time, you must settle it now. You must ask yourself the question, where do I stand? Will I be among those that will be told on that day, I never knew you? Will I be among those that would have claimed to have a relationship with Christ, and yet the person you are claiming to have a relationship with had no time at any point had a relationship with us? We need to wrestle with this question now. While you have time, does Jesus know you? Does Jesus Christ had a special relationship with him? Does he count you among his sheep? Those he came to die for, and he gives them eternal life. And he says, no one can snatch them from my hands, because I and the Father are one. Are you among those individuals that are in the palms of Christ, and every day they are the objects of his special love and care? Are you among the beloved of Christ? And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. But then this brings us to the fourth thing that we see from this warning, and that's the solemn condemnation pronounced by the Lord Jesus Christ. The solemn condemnation pronounced by the Lord Jesus Christ. The last part of verse 23. And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And the condemnation that the Lord Jesus Christ brings is one that gives us this picture of one who's disgusted with the presence of something. And when Christ hears the pleas or the complaints of those who be present, and saying, Lord, we did this, Lord, we did that, and you declare to them, I never knew you. And then you said, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Christ is saying, I will tell them, I don't even want to have you around me. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. And he's saying, even though they'll claim they did great things, they did mighty things, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, all their works were works of lawlessness. And the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us there is that here are individuals who thought they were keeping the law of God, and yet their lives were a contradiction to the very thing they were claiming to be doing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying there that these are individuals who knew what needed to be done and did the opposite, and yet pretended that they are doing the very thing that needs to be done. And he's saying, on that day I will declare to them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, or you who practice lawlessness. Now think of it. These individuals had claimed to have done mighty works, casting out demons, prophesying in the name of God, and they were sincere in their acts. Yet Christ saw those acts as lawlessness. While before the multitudes, or before the people that would perform these acts, the multitudes who received this kind of mighty words regarded them as individuals who are closer to God, or individuals who are the very servants of God. And yet in the books of Christ, in the presence of Christ, he looks at these individuals as individuals who practice lawlessness. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to all of us this morning is that all your religious activities are acts of lawlessness, as long as they are done in sin. All religious activities that you involve yourself in, as long as Christ is not at the center of them, they are regarded as lawlessness. And all the religious activities you do, coming to church, giving to the poor, rejoining God's people in singing praise to God, He who knows all things and knows the state of your heart, He can see that at the center of your heart is your sin and your failure to abandon your sin. And same on that day, He will say, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." These individuals were expecting something different, to hear a commendation. But Christ says the opposite will be true. It will be a solemn condemnation because they practice lawlessness. Now, bear in mind the context in which this verse finds itself. The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to His disciples. He's talking to the multitudes, and in those multitudes there were the Pharisees and the scribes. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, there are those among yourselves who are deceived. There are those within yourselves who use religious activities to cover their true identity. The fact that they are in rebellion against God. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees it fit to warn the hearers, even His disciples, that there will be that day, the day coming set by God, when God Himself will separate His sheep from the goats. That day is coming. Now everything and everyone looks like they're the same. Outwardly, they all look to be holy. They all look to be rejoicing in God. They all look that they are longing for that day when God will return. But when that day comes, God will do the final separation. And it will be clear, those who are His and those who are not. And those who are not will be faced with this solemn condemnation. Away from me, you workers of lawlessness. And the reason is not that they did not do the things they claim to have done. It's that they did not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ did not know them. Christ did not hold them in special position. Christ did not number them as His sheep, the ones He died for. He numbered them as individuals who practice lawlessness. Now this account is a solemn warning to all of us. A warning that should cause each one of us to sincerely ask, is my salvation rooted and based in Christ? Is there a point in my life when I could say, after I'd wandered in darkness, Jesus, my Savior, I met? Is there a point in my life, with all my church going, with all my Christian background, with all my religious activities, God spoke? spoke to me and he showed me my desperate situation, and then he pointed me to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I cried out to him for the forgiveness of sin and he changed my life. Can I look back at such a day? If there's no such a day in your life, or there's no such a point when you remember, or when God showed you your sin, and Christ was shown to you as the answer of your sin, and you cried out to Him for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be among those people the Lord will say on that day, "Depart from me, you who work lawlessness." Now is the time to set your heart. That day is coming. That great day which God Himself has said is coming. And I'll be thoughtless if I do not ask you this question: where do you stand in your relationship with God? In view of that day, that great day, where do you stand this morning? What are you trusting in to enter heaven? A mere profession of saying, "Lord, Lord," to Jesus will not cause you to enter heaven. Whether you say Lord or not, Jesus is still Lord. God has given Him a name above all names, and at His name every knee will bow. Jesus knows that. He doesn't need you to remind Him of that. He knows it. Are you trusting in your religious activities, in your mighty works? Jesus is already mighty. He is God. He doesn't need you to remind Him of that. He is the Son of God. And He needs no reminder. What He wants is you to have a relationship with Him. He died so that all who come to Him in faith and in repentance will have found eternal life in Christ. This is what Christ warns about. And this is what He reminds us to be sure of. Is Christ your only hope? Your only basis of entrance into heaven? And this is what Christ wanted the multitudes to hear. This is what He wants you to hear. That as you leave this place, go back to your home, you don't get swallowed up into the religious views around you, but that you settle this matter of your salvation this moment and know where you stand. And as you walk in this life, you can sing, "Jesus is my only hope, is my only Savior, and it is in Him that I stand, it is in Him that I rest, it is in Him that I know that one day I'll be in heaven, not because of my righteousness, but because of His righteousness." And His death has opened the way of salvation and has brought reconciliation between God the Father and me. And it is this matter that Jesus wants it settled in your life. If you continue trusting in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that day will be a sad day for you when Christ will say, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The hymn writer puts it this way: come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. And then he says, joyful, joyful will our meeting be when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee in our eternal home. And the hymn writer is one who knew Christ as his only hope of salvation, and in that he rested and trusted, and is able to say, when that day comes, it will be a joyful meeting, because we'll be gathered with the Savior in our eternal home. But he goes on to plead, the hymn writer, and say, think once again, he's with us today. He now is blessed, command and obey. And hear him saying, will you come? Will you come? Oh, that you may settle this issue of salvation today and now, before you go back, or before that day comes, when many will hear those shocking words, and then a solemn condemnation pronounced upon them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Amen.